The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with the assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to The Musketeers. I'm Francis, and this show coming to you from Mochiweka Studio here at Fresh FM, your community radio station. We interview people on topics of interest within our community.
It's a good song about hairy armpits and ditties.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
It's ditties, not titties.
Not titties. Not ditties. Titties. Although titties and naked beaches, you know.
Sounds like a good time to me.
It's good times in Golden Bay.
Good old times.
Can't wait to get back Golden Bay.
We got them what they call them, rope heads and ferals and weirdos.
And farmers.
Oh, yep. Farmers, of course.
Cowboys.
Cowboys. Horses. Oh, we got to get some cowboys.
Round them up.
Oh, they do say that them sunsets are mighty pretty. But Jezebel, they ain't nearly as pretty as you.
Golden Bay, cause I'm afraid of cities. No room for my horse to run and no room for my ditties. Take me back to Golden Bay so I can grow my pet hair. Frolic naked on the beach and never get arrested. Yeah, frolic naked on the beach and never get arrested. Take me back to Golden Bay so I can tend my garden. Most you good weather at seaweed and watch my fingers harden. Take me back to Golden Bay where things ain't so confusing. People say it like it is, don't baffle me with jargon. Yeah, people say it like it is, don't baffle me with jargon.
Sing it. Hallelujah.
Oh, take me back to Golden Bay where everyone's unusual. Only time they wear back clothes is on the kind of funerals. Take me back to Golden Bay cause I'm
song.
Welcome back. This week I have Charlotte Squire on the phone from Golden Bay. Charlotte Squire is a wife, mother, and musician based in Takaka. Hi Charlotte, thanks for talking with me today.
Hi Francis, it's such a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. We have just played your song Take Me Back to Golden Bay, which has a Beverly Hillbillies intro mixed with a country hoedown feel to it. It sounded like a lot of fun. How did you put that song together?
It's so funny that I guess I must have put that on Spotify because it was a joke. It was a total joke song, that song, and it was a hidden track in the days when we had CDs and didn't have Spotify. It was a hidden track on the CD. And I heard, I think I was living in Wainui Bay at that time in a tiny little farmer's cottage. And I had heard a country and western song on the radio, and I thought, I want to make one of those. And then I asked the guy I was playing music with, who's still in the Bay, actually, Edge Tucker, if he could come up with a really cool guitar kind of country-style rhythm. And, yeah, I just wanted to have a crack at making a country-styled song. And then it was a kind of joke. It was a bit of a jokey song. And at the very end, I don't know if it's at the very end or right through. It made the right through. I went to my friend's house and asked her and her partner to, because they're from America, they're from Colorado, and they do a really, really good cowboy kind of accent. And we got everyone stamping on the floor really loud and whooping and saying cowboy, cowgirl things. And so it was a really fun song to record. And it's supposed to say, take me back to Golden Bay, so I can write my ditties, I think, write my ditties. But people thought I was saying titties, which is actually really embarrassing. I did not mean that at all. And the guy that produced it and recorded it was this guy called AJ Hickling, who's recently died very unexpectedly from cancer. He was this incredible musician, Chrissy probably knew him, who was based in Queenstown and played a lot of incredible piano.
Yeah.
That's devastating.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he produced that whole album, and that album, the whole album that I did, I swapped it. He did that for me because I swapped it for a van. I had a van. He wanted a van. He said, can I have your van? And in exchange, can I make you an album? So that's, and then he, it took him about us about 5 years for him to make my first album. And that was one of the songs.
Well, that was a good deal.
That's a great deal. Very unique.
I know. How else am I going to get an album made? That's so expensive if you're like, you know, if you're not working with a record label. Like these days, because I'm making another album, and you're probably looking at $1,000 a song. So it's, you know, that was a great deal.
Yeah.
That was a great deal. For a van.
Yeah.
Sounds good enough to me. How long have you been doing your own music, and who and what have been your biggest inspirations?
Been doing music since I was 28 years old, and I'm now 49 years old, so a long time. And back in when I was 28, I think I was beginning to be one of those closet singers. I'd probably always, a lot of us sing for the, you know, we just sing without knowing we do sing. And when I was a kid, I remember my family saying, well, kind of dissing me. I think we do that in our culture a lot. They kind of like, you know, tell me off for singing too loud, or, you know, I sort of felt a bit like I couldn't really sing very well. I had a bit of a lack of confidence about whether I could sing. And I'd sing in the car and sing in the shower. But then one time when I was living up Brook Street in Nelson, and I think it was my birthday, and I was singing some Ella Fitzgerald, and I'd had some red wine. And then someone looked at me and said, imagine if you could do that sober. So I took that challenge on, because not that I was a big drinker, but just the alcohol made me feel a bit brave and, you know, to sing out about a bit loud. And then about a year after that, I went on this massive junior hikoi down the country, and we had this thing at that time called the Seed Carriers Hikoi. People from all over the country were honouring the seeds, like literally plant seeds, and we were collecting them from marae after marae, and then we took them all down to Parliament. And this was in a time, a couple of decades before, when genetic engineering was first coming into the country. So I was on a walk to kind of protest against genetic engineering coming into the country, and there was a big scene in those days, and we were all pro-organics, and we were wanting to collect all the old heritage seeds up. And so while I was on that walk, we had to stay on all these marae, and on in Māori culture, on marae, singing is normal. Everyone has to sing. And so on the marae of the North Island, I found my voice, I found my confidence as a singer, and I came back off that journey, because I was working for the Green Party at the time, and I got so excited about it that I wanted to quit my job and just become a rock star without anyone knowing who I was at the time. And the person I was working for, the politician at the time, said, oh, could you just hang in there another month and please follow, finish your contract. But I was super excited about singing back then, and so I would just, from that time on, I started singing. I still had quite a stage fright issue for quite a few years. I had to really work on that a lot. And I used all these different techniques to work through my stage fright. And I did eventually, I guess I've done it now for so long and I worked on it so much. I learned what not to do. What you shouldn't do when you've got stage fright is go into a deep therapy session about it just before you go on stage. That's not a good idea. I did that. And in one performance, we had 100 people watching us, and I was in a four-piece band as the lead singer, and I lost my voice for three songs, and I only came back on the third song. But there was lots of learning in those early years. But since then, I've just carried on singing. Like, I'm in a band called The Forge, and do my own solo singing around the place. But I'm pretty busy with writing and other stuff. So I'm actually going to band practice tonight. That's a regular thing, but it has to fit in around my kind of earning the money to pay the mortgage and feed the hungry children.
What techniques did you use to overcome your stage fright?
I did a lot of counselling work when I didn't have a performance coming up. I would go to a whole, in Golden Bay, we've got a lot of incredible different counsellors and therapists and people who work with body and all these different ways. And so I just, some techniques that help, well, I work with a lot of counsellors on my stage fright, but some techniques that really helped me were kind of embracing the nerves. That was a really good thing. Like, a really inspiring musician in my life who's now moved to Wales, to where she runs choirs in Wales, was Tina Bridgman. And she would say, it's a normal process for your body to become, your whole body energy changes because you're preparing to project your voice out to a lot of people. So it's a real shift, because normally I'm, you know, I was a writer, I was a quiet person, and then I had to shift gears. And another thing that she taught me was visualizing how I would like the whole performance to go beforehand, imagining myself singing, imagining how I'd like to feel in the performance, so that when I got up there, and that really helped me. It was like practicing the performance before I'd done it, and down to feeling really relaxed, like feeling, one of my affirmations was, you know, I was born to be on stage, and it sounds a bit naff now, but it really, things like that, affirmations and visualization and anything, I tried so many different things that all added up. But of course, at the end of the day, it was just doing it. It was my nervous system needed to do it again and again and again, so that I realized it was safe to be on stage and sing. I still get a bit nervous now when I sing my own more authentic original songs, because I sing a lot of 70s and 80s covers in my band The Forge, but when I do my own original songs, I still do feel a little bit of vulnerability. But I probably am so used to singing on stage, just through experience. That's a big one, just putting myself out there and taking any opportunity when I was younger to sing. That was a really big one.
That's incredible. I'll be taking that advice. Thanks. As well, by the way.
Are you a singer-songwriter too?
No, just working on stage front and all that.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to radio
one.
Work.
I think there's so much to it. Like in our culture, and one of the things I realised when I went on that hikoi and sat on all those marae, we're in Māori culture, singing is so normal. There's no shame around singing. But I think in my more Pākehā European culture, there, a lot of us have been kind of laughed at, and we've been made to feel ashamed of our voices. And that doesn't happen in all cultures. And I heard a statistic once that 90-something% of people can sing. It's just that they've been made to feel that they can't sing. And I think and of course there's the tall poppy thing. There's a real fear around putting yourself out there in front of a crowd of people and just sticking your neck out and standing out. And that's something that I've really journeyed with. And I still journey with, actually. Just, it takes courage for anyone, I think, to stand in front of a big crowd and stand out.
Fair enough. Now, you have just released a new song, Good News, which was produced by Levity Beats. Can you tell us a bit more about the song?
Yeah, so I'm in this stage of life where I'm coming up to 50. So I'm through the sort of younger years of having babies. My kids are older now. And so the song itself, the subject was about, I went on a holiday with some dear friends and I witnessed the way they took care of themselves. And they each honoured themselves in different beautiful ways. And I was super inspired. And so I've had this journey with mental health in terms of just watching how different people keep the balance in their lives. And I really loved witnessing all the different ways that these four women around me do that for themselves. And probably for me, it's things like, if I don't sing, I start to get quite sad. I have to sing and I have to go on walks. But for them, it's all different things. Like one of them just needs to get away from the internet and just be in the bush. Another one loves to go swimming, loves at dawn. Another one loves to dance. And then the song was really inspired by a friend of mine who I really admire. She loves to walk in the dark. She loves to go on ponderous strolls in the dark. And I was so inspired by them that I needed to, you know, singer-songwriters, I think, we just get inspired. We feel deep emotions about a subject, so we have to turn that into a song. So I got, when I write a song, I start with a melody, and the way I play guitar is pretty much really simply. Like, I'm not a flash guitar player. I just need the basics, because for me, I'm more passionate about the lyrics and the vocals. So I just locked into some basic chords, used a capo, which is makes the chords go a bit higher, and super simple chords. And then just found a song that felt really good in my body. And then, really, I just love that. I love singing. Like, that is where I'm at. That song right now in my life, I'm at a stage of life where self-care is very important. I'm at a stage as a woman where I'm taking some leadership roles in my community, and I also am raising children and running a household. So I have a lot on my plate. So really being quite conscious about taking good care of myself, it's really up there in my radar. And I also feel like my age, I mean, now that I'm getting a bit older, I start to see how when you start aging as a woman, you start becoming less visible, I think, like in our culture. There's a slight there's a slight lessening of the valuation of women and maybe people in general in our culture as they get older. And I really wanted to honour people who are getting older too, in a culture that's more focused on celebrating youthfulness and beauty and vigour. But I also wanted to celebrate ageing and the privilege of ageing and self-care. And then Levity Beat. Do you know Levity Beat? Have you heard of him?
No, sorry.
No, that's all good. So Levity Beat is this amazing award-winning musician, and he lives in Golden Bay, but he's won incredible awards at a national level, and he lives in Takaka here, and so he is an amazing man to record with. So I just sort of, this year my band, The Forge, we played all around Golden Bay because we only play in Golden Bay at this stage because some people don't want to play out of the bay. So the money that I earned from the gigs, I put into recording with Levity. He did me a good deal because he's a mate. And so I just went in there a few times and I recorded just the guitar and the vocals and I did my harmonies. But he came in with double bass and mandolin behind it. And he's an amazing producer, really incredible producer. So I really loved working with Levity. Yeah.
Shall we take a listen to that then?
Oh, yes. Please do.
She likes long, ponderous walks in the darkness. Good news, it's night time. She likes long periods of time away from the internet. Good news, a dead spot. And we all bring our aching hearts to this place. There's no one you will find who is untouched. We all bring our open arms to this space. There's no one who is here without the need. And it's all right, for your good, good news got all night. And it's all right, for your good, good news got. Another walk in the dark. She likes to swim at high tide when it's glassy. Good news, a still dawn. She likes to dance, to reconnect with her soul. Good news, the right soul. All bring our aching hearts to this place. There's no one you will find who is untouched. We all bring our open arms to this space. There's no one who is here without the need. And it's dance one more chorus. Walks in the darkness. Good news, it's night time.
Hi, I'm Frances, and you're listening to Fresh FM, and I'm talking with Golden Bay musician Charlotte Squire. Thanks for joining us today, Charlotte. I'm sad to say that we are running out of time, so would you like to pick another song?
Oh, thanks so much, Frances. I'm such a yabbera, you know. I'd love to pick a song. So the last song is Miner's Wife, and I think I released that last year or the year before, and Miner's Wife was inspired when I was at the Rockville Museum. Rockville in Golden Bay has this cool museum. It used to be the cheese factory. And in that museum, which is very lovingly tended to by this incredible bunch of volunteers, I found the story of a miner's wife who had lived in Pooponga, Golden Bay, in 1919 during the coal mining days. And I found out about her day-to-day life, and I turned her story into the song Miner's Wife. Yeah, what I found fascinating about her life was that it was coal mining was big then, and her family had come out from Ireland, I think, and they were raising a big family out there. There was no road in, so they had to use the beach for transport. And she'd been giving birth out there, and the midwife, who was actually an interesting person who popped up, Granny Wigsall. She was a famous midwife from Collingwood, and her descendants still live in Golden Bay, had to ride by horseback to come to her to help her give birth. And they didn't have any power. And it was just a hard life, I think, out there. And I found that really fascinating. And I think I probably related to her as a mother who was working really hard, although had all the modern, you know, all the privileges of being born in this time. But I think woman to woman, mother to mother, I really related to this miner's wife. And it's been really amazing when we've played it, because relatives of the miner's wife, relatives of the Granny Wigsall, the midwife, have emerged from the crowd and have become emotional, which is so, so touching when that happens. And so my whole band came in to record that one, so as opposed to that other song, Good News, that was me and Liberty, but the whole Forge, most of the Forge came in to record that one, and that was really awesome. We went into Levity's studio, and Tina Bridgman helped me with harmonies. She's amazing. And we got some beautiful, like Brian did some incredible guitar on it, you'll hear. And we had this beautiful drumming, actually. We've got the Irish drum in there. What is it called? The Baron's in there, and we love the Baron. That was Tina Bridgman as well. And yeah, it was incredible to do that song with a big group of people. Yeah.
That's incredible. Well, I'm going to thank you now. So thank you so much for coming on today. It was lovely to talk to you and interview and hear about everything. Now we're going to listen to Miner's Wife.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me, Frances.
Thank you so much as well.
I am the wife of a miner, and I live in Pooponga, and I came here in 1919. We're kept warm by the coal, push it miles on barrow, and I feel like my back is breaking. Yes, our home, it is rough, but it stands well enough, and my family have faced many storms. We use kerosene lamps and the light of candles till the power came on in 43. Systems dead, and our family of 12, we sleep 4 to the bed. Yes, I often gave birth on my own. Granny Wigsell's a midwife. If I have any need, it takes 3 hours to get to her home. Home, home.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you, or your group, would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.co.nz, for our contact details.